Now we continue our readings in the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to be looking especially at chapters 28 and 29 this morning. There's too much here to continue further than that. But may I just suggest that next Sunday you might be looking at chapter 30 on to chapter 35. It's difficult to split these chapters up, although we may have to in our study. But we're reading in chapter 28 and 29 this morning, and at the present time, chapter 28. I want to read from J.B. Phillips' translation, which sometimes makes it a little clearer, but if you follow in your own version, the authorized says, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim." Ephraim, of course, is the northern kingdom with the capital in Samaria. "Why this crown of pride on Ephraim's drunken head? Why the glorious beauty of frail flowers which wreathe the fertile valley, whose owners lie dead drunk? Beware, the Lord's agent is strong and powerful, like a storm of hail, a hurricane of havoc, like a torrent of rain flooding and flattening, flung down with fury upon the earth. The crown of pride on Ephraim's drunken head shall be trampled underfoot, and the glorious beauty of frail flowers, or withering flowers, which wreathe the fertile valley, shall be like the first ripe fig of the season, seen, seized, and swallowed all in a moment." Verse 5, "In that day the Lord of hosts shall himself be a crown of glory, and a diadem of beauty for the survivors of his people. He will give wisdom to those who sit in judgment, and strength to those who defend the gate. Yet here in Jerusalem men reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. Priest and prophet reel in their cups. They are befuddled with wine. They stagger with strong drink. Their very visions are distorted. They stumble over their words of judgment. The sacred tables are covered with filthy vomit. There is not a place that is clean." Verse 9. And here Isaiah represents these men reviling him and mocking him. They say, "Who is he trying to teach? Who is he trying to instruct? Are we just weaned? Are we children just taken from the breast? Do we have to learn?" Verse 10. "Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." J.B. Phillips translated, "Do we have to learn that the law is the law is the law, the rule is the rule is the rule, a little bit here, a little bit there?" They're mocking the prophet, you see, because he is reiterating with monotonous insistence the warning word of the Lord. And they say, "Oh, we're tired, we're sick to death of this constant doom-mongering. You're at it all the time, Isaiah." That's the kind of thing that's being said. "Do we have to learn that the law is the law is the law, the rule is the rule is the rule, a little bit here, a little bit there?" And Isaiah replies, "Yes, with stuttering lips and a foreign tongue will the Lord speak to this people. He once said to them, 'This is the rest you may give to the weary. This is the true refreshing.' And yet they would not hear. So the word of the Lord shall be to them, 'The law is the law is the law. The rule is the rule is the rule. A little bit here, a little bit there.' So they go stumbling backwards to be broken and trapped and captured." Verse 14. "Therefore listen to the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you say, 'We have struck a bargain with death, we have made an agreement with the underworld. When the overwhelming flood passes through, it will not reach us, for we have hidden behind a lie and taken refuge behind deceit.' Therefore, this is what the Lord God says: Here I lay a foundation of Zion, a stone, a well-tested stone, a precious cornerstone, solid and secure. The man who trusts in me shall rest unmoved." I prefer the authorized version here. He that believeth in me shall not make haste. That is to say, he that has a quiet trust in the Lord will have no need for panic measures. He will not fuss or panic. He will rest quietly. That's the point. Verse 17, I will make justice my line, with righteousness its plummet. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and floods will overwhelm your shelter. Then your bargain with death will be cancelled, and your agreement with the underworld broken. When the overwhelming flood passes through, you will be beaten down by it. Every time it sweeps through, it will take some of you. Morning after morning, it will surge through, by day and by night. All news will be of unspeakable terror. All the news, as it were, will be bad news. That's the meaning here. All the news will be bad news. The bed is indeed too short for comfort, and the blanket too narrow for warmth. For the Lord will rise up as he did on Mount Perazim. He will be angry as he was in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his deed, strange though it be, and work his work, strange as it is. Now therefore stop your mockery, or you will be bound more fast than ever. For I have heard from the Lord of hosts an order for destruction of the whole land. Now listen closely to my words, verse 23. Hear what I have to say. Does the plowman do nothing but plow? Is he always opening and breaking down his ground? Surely once the field is smooth and level, does he not broadcast the dill and scatter the cumin, and plant the wheat and barley in rows, with vetches sown as a border? For he is instructed aright and taught by his God. Dill is not thrashed with the thrashing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin, but dill is thrashed with a stick and cumin with a flail. No one crushes bread corn to pieces, but once the cartwheel has been driven over it, a man spreads it out and does not crush it. This knowledge also comes from the Lord of hosts, whose counsel is wonderful and whose wisdom is great. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word.